Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are looking at what's going on in the fiber industry, in the internet industry, in the, you know, that part of connectivity which has become quite important during these more than 200 days now of lockdown, increasing demand for connectivity and the like. And to help us to unpack, you know, some of the things that are going on, I'm looking at issues of digital transformation and how connectivity is enabling a quote-unquote new normal. We are joined by Vino Govender, who is the executive for strategy, mergers and acquisitions and innovation at Dark Fiber Africa. Vino, greetings to you.
Greetings, Diwan. Thank you, and great to be on the show.
Thank you so much. Now, from my understanding, when it comes to DFA or Dark Fiber Africa, you guys are part of the CIVH group that also includes Vumatel and operates within Remgrow. Could you give us just some insight just around what it is you guys are actually doing? Because I think from a consumer point of view, people tend to know your counterpart Vumatel, but not so much on the Dark Fiber side.
Yeah, so DFA is an infrastructure company, predominantly fiber-centric, so we're a fiber co. And we pioneered and brought the wholesale open access model for connectivity, fiber-based, into South Africa. What that means is that we deliver a network, a fiber network, at scale. We reduce the input cost structures for service providers and other network operators that require this to build their core networks. And they even require access to what we call access services to service customers or end users in the market. So we are a wholesale open access fiber company. While we are predominantly a business focused market, our customers being the business segment, consumers do touch us indirectly. And the way I explain that is, if you think about the mobile network operators, and consumers are the ones who use mobile data, mobile internet services and stuff like that, you would find that DFA is a significant provider of backhaul connectivity for the mobile network operators. So indirectly, you know, we do touch the consumer, but through network operators. And you'll also find that, there are certain fiber network operators that service the consumer market, such as, like you mentioned, Vumatel, which is a consumer fiber-to-the-home player, but there are a number of other fiber-to-the-home players. And you'll find that we as DFA provide the backhaul connectivity, to backhaul the networks or portions of the network into the total network. And then obviously, our customers, like I mentioned, are business customers, so fiber cores, mobile network operators, and we even deal with internet service providers. And for those guys, we provide, in addition to dark fiber, we provide a managed access service, so managed broadband, managed internet access services to the business sector. So yeah, in a nutshell, that's what we do. And like you say, our value proposition is about consolidating common demand and common infrastructure and reducing the input cost structure for these network operators and ISPs to service the end users.
Now that we have that understanding of what DFA actually does and the backhaul that you're talking about, it sounds like you're sort of playing in the same space as I'm just thinking about other infrastructure providers like OpenServe. And I'll just wonder, from your view, what lockdown has actually done to the rollout of fiber across the country or any builds that were currently in place? Because on the one hand, I think telecommunications as a whole was, given the green light as an essential service. But in practicality, did that mean that you guys were able to continue, building whatever networks you were, or were some of your projects also then put on hold?
The fact that it was declared an essential service, just accentuates the importance of ICT and ICT services and infrastructure, to keep continuity for services across sectors, whether it's government, citizen, business, e-education, e-health. It's critically important for us as a, and you know, we talk about the layers. And as an infrastructure player, we sit at layer one, meaning we deliver the passive infrastructure layer at the bottom, which is foundational, and layer two, where we do some managed services. But it's foundational to supporting the entire ecosystem, because without the infrastructure, or should I say the plumbing in place, data cannot flow between the operators and the end users, between operators and application providers. Here we're talking about cloud-based platforms, cloud computing resources, data centers. That's the kind of infrastructure that we implement that supports the flow, the plumbing, the flow of data between these endpoints that creates value for end users. And to your point, it accentuated that. And during COVID, what we did was we placed a very strong emphasis on ensuring that whatever infrastructure was in place was supported. That we had enough resources available and directed towards maintaining the network uptime of our infrastructure. And for that, we maintain a network uptime north of 99.995%, so on average. So we maintained, let's call it digital business continuity in South Africa during the COVID period. So our primary response was ensuring that the network was available, that we had network assurance and availability done and implemented. In addition to that, there were critical areas, or call it critical services that needed to be delivered. Here I'm talking about, the rollout of services to COVID treatment sites as an example. Where the mobile network operators had to extend coverage and densify sites purely due to the demand from users working from home. And at the same time, ensuring that, where there was demand for additional fiber to the home consumption, and that came with the rollout of additional network, as well as the maintenance of uptime on the network's backhaul, especially, was maintained. So as a business, we had to respond to that. And the way our approach with that was to ensure that our NOC, our Network Operations Center, was fully functional during COVID, taking into account that, there was criteria to be met around, infection prevention. And so what we did was we managed to successfully, due to our digital transformation efforts, virtualize our NOCs, so our Network Operations Center kind of work from home. We mobilized our suppliers and our support staff and vendors to align to our disaster recovery plan. And at the same time, we placed a very strong emphasis on prioritizing what projects we undertook. So we spent a lot of time on focusing on maintenance of critical infrastructure to support critical services. And at the same time, where new build and where network rollout was required, we prioritized that based on, was it supporting essential services such as essential COVID monitoring sites, essential COVID health facilities, and so forth. So that's where we placed our focus on. That was towards level, when we're on level, level five. And then as the levels dropped, gradually we started, looking at, okay, the risk is lower, but at the same time, let's manage whatever risk that we have within the business. And yeah, when I talk about risks, I'm talking about not interrupting services, and not risking our staff as well, or risking our suppliers. And then taking a very prioritized approach towards new network rollout and new build. At the level that we are at now, you know, we've been successful in terms of, you know, the stuff that we've the orders that we had had on the backlog and we felt would have been a bit risky. We now on the current level now level two, we you know we've now kind of accelerated our focus in terms of delivering those links on new build, whether it's optical build or subble build. I think one of the key things that we focused on in level five was delivering links that just required optical build and not civil works, because civil works we felt were would be risky to service interruption.
With that in mind, Vino, I'm very interested to then understand, because you are, you know, the strategy person at DFA. How are you then thinking from a strategy point of view about future projects, and also just, you know, issues around how businesses will adjust to, you know, to the new ways of doing things? Because I can imagine that in an environment where, for example, a company has dispersed its workforce in favor of remote working, for example, and for the ones that choose not to go back fully to the office as things were pre-COVID, and you have a situation where people are, you know, dispersed and working remotely, I can imagine that that does something different for the type of connectivity that a business will actually need, because it's no longer concentrated at a campus or a building or a headquarters. You now have to think about your solutions from a dispersed point of view. So just from that point of view, that strategy point of view, how are you thinking about all of those issues and DFA's place in that mix?
Let me just start by saying, as the world, like you mentioned, changes, and as the workforce becomes more in, I would call it remote, operating off the campus, you know, connectivity, like you mentioned, is key. And a plethora of access technologies will fill that space. So, NGOs will come onto the network or access the corporate environment through wireless technologies, GSM, 4G, 5G, or through fiber-based access services. And as DFA, that's our position in the market, is that as an infrastructure provider, we service the network providers who build networks on top of our infrastructure to service that demand in a technology agnostic manner. Like I mentioned, we provide backhaul and to the mobile towers, to small cells, and we'll continue doing that, which will, you know, create the bandwidth capacity that's required on the backhaul side, as well as the footprint required to densify networks. So we'll provide that. That's been our business as usual for us. The same can be said in terms of fiber to the home. We service the fiber to the home providers with backhaul as well. And it goes beyond that, even the wireless providers, so the guys that are providing networks on licensed microwave and unlicensed microwave, we also service them with backhaul as they build networks. And, you know, some of them might decide, hey, we're going to migrate to fiber because, customers just require that service, and we make available wholesale layer two access services for them. So in that sense, we do it. But to your point, and, you know, we are fortunate enough that from a DFA perspective, we started our digital transformation journey, I think, months before COVID was even on the agenda. And we did that keeping in mind that we wanted to improve our customer experience, we wanted to really exemplify the way customers interact with us, the ease of doing business, and our approach there was we see our customers interacting us on digital platforms in a very much frictionless, zero touch manner, and if that's going to be the model, the operating model of the business, we embarked on a number of projects. One of them being, just managing, these things run on data, right? So we got a very focused program on data management. We've got a very focused project on the operating model and the business architecture. And we've got a very, you know, dovetail after that, we're redefining our enterprise architecture. And what this does is it creates it moves us from a very much manually based business to a very much systems based business driven by high levels of automation, high level of business processes that are supported by business applications. And having said that, you know, starting the journey before COVID even started puts us on the future path of two things. Firstly, we are able to service our customer requirements in a much more, like I mentioned, frictionless manner. But at the same time, it also enables us to extend access to these applications to our employees who, in a remote fashion. So, for example, someone from the network planning department, as an example, would not have to be on the campus now to provide a feasibility response on the service. They can be quite honestly anywhere and get access to a customer request on CRM, which is digitally on a digital application, and query that feasibility and return that. In fact, we can move to one level beyond that, where the customer, which is where we move to, where the customer requests a feasibility, and the entire process is automated using, you know, services such as GIS APIs, using our network overlay and our entire order management process or an electronic version of our order catalog with its specific business rules, then return the feasibility to the customer in almost real time. And that's the vision we're moving towards, and that's what we started off on. So to just sum up that, two things is, firstly, we enable the entire ecosystem around us and business community in South Africa to function in that fashion. And at the same time, in our business, our enterprise architecture, operating model transformation, our digital business transformation program enables us as a business also to function in a much more connected, zero-touch, new normal world.
Vino, how would you say then, with everything that you've just said about your own transformation journey and also providing, you know, that foundation for a lot of businesses to have been able to operate digitally during this time, internally, how has the last 6 or so months evolved DFA's thinking around its own digital transformation? Because I'm sure, as you said, before COVID even hit, you guys had already started that journey. But how have the lockdown months perhaps helped you guys to tweak or change some of the things that were part of that plan?
I think lockdown, in a way, worked, gave us some upside. And I'll tell you why. You know, your question was, you know, how did you manage network rollout and stuff like that? Remember, in level 5, we had to put the brakes in terms of civil build. You know, it becomes a bit risky. So we had to put some of the brakes on civil build and just do a lot of the applicable type of work. And that time allowed us, and in that time, a lot of the business functions in the business, I think volume kind of dropped. Well, I know volume kind of dropped. So what we did was we knew, as we're going through our programs, that data is foundational to any digital business transformation effort. I mean, applications, business applications, digital platforms work on data. And it's important that data is, you have data governance, that you have data, high levels of data integrity and data quality is important as well. So what we did, you asked me what happened in COVID and how did we influence it. We are able to redirect, the areas where there was low demand from work as normal and focus them a lot on the data cleaning efforts. And I must say, we've seen a lot of benefit from that. We've built our data sets, spent, in each business area, assigned data domain owners, created rules for data management, data cleansing, put governance processes in place. And, you know, so COVID in a way gave us some upside on the digital transformation efforts of the business through focusing resources on cleaning data, on ensuring high levels of data integrity, both current and future, which is foundational to our digital transformation program effort. So yeah, I mean, I guess that was the one view. The other thing that this also COVID also allowed us to do was actually, you know, stress test our business continuity plan, and then also find, you know, where there were areas of that we needed to build in additional resiliency, how we could leverage digital platforms or digital capability to do that. So it highlighted areas of potential weakness that we needed to focus on, and I think we've done a good job of getting those things done. I mean, simple things such as providing data connectivity in an efficient manner to our employees who are working off campus, as an example. We've experienced some learning from ourselves within the business, but it also afforded us the opportunity to focus on, like I mentioned, important key critical factors that we needed to kind of build or get right foundationally for our digital transformation journey.
So with all of that said, then what's your outlook for the space that you guys are in? You guys are in that market where different providers, network providers, ISPs are building on top of the foundation that you guys have been laying for a number of years now. Going forward, do you see an acceleration, maybe a deceleration of builds, maybe the type of builds? How are you seeing all of that going forward?
No. I think we actually seeing an acceleration, and it's largely because, if you think about it, lots of businesses out there are also transforming as well. So they realize the importance of having reliable, stable digital infrastructure upon which they build their digital business. So you're seeing a lot of migration to I would assume to cloud-based platforms, because what we see, I mean, the last month we saw a significant increase in the demand for, Ethernet, metro Ethernet access services, as an example. So I do not see a deceleration. I would actually, expect the demand to kind of pick up as businesses transform their own out there. And this is not just from an enterprise perspective, but also down to an SMME perspective. At the same time, a lot of companies now are working, have implemented remote working policies and work from home policies. I was speaking to one of the banks recently over the weekend, someone from one of the major banks, and they've been asked to clear up the desks, and now they will work permanently from home and book meetings only when they need to. So kind of hot desking at the corporate office, but the space is now shared, and the de facto model is work from home. So having said that, you're going to see a lot of more demand on the mobile networks as well as on the fiber to the home network. So which means, bandwidth backhaul capacity requirements from DFA will increase as well. So we see that, but at the same time, what we understand is that we need to be a lot more responsive, because, as the demand increases and customers become more demanding, and now, working for a fiber to the home service, could be a critical service for somebody who's working from home. So response times need to be much more quicker. Ease of doing business, our turnaround times, we need to be frictionless, zero touch. That hasn't changed. You just see an acceleration from our side in terms of how we enable that type of environment to enable our customers to interact with us in that fashion.
And then on a last point, how are you guys thinking about 5G? Because to my understanding, at least, 5G is going to call on densification of networks for, just making sure that there is coverage for areas that do need and want 5G, that there's going to need to be that densification of networks, building more towers, etc. And the connectivity between those towers and their various centers will be done through fiber. So how are you guys as DFA thinking about 5G, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that we serve with mobile network operators means that as 5G site rollout, whether it's small cells or additional site rollout, increases, there's an opportunity for us to provide the backhaul for them. So 5G will drive fiber connectivity from a backhaul perspective. However, more than that, 5G has a number of use cases, actually three major ones. The one is enhanced mobile, ultra-fast mobile broadband, massive machine-to-machine connectivity. And the other one is the ultra-reliable low-latency networks. Now, the latter propositions will demand lower levels of latency, and as well as the ability to connect or enable make available edge co-location centers that will be required to be utilized for the delivery of just use cases on massive machine-to-machine type communications, as well as ultra low latency and reliable networks. And that's the other opportunities we see. So it's over and above just fiber backhaul and fiber densification, which is now business as usual. It's also to extend or pivot off that fiber infrastructure to move into, providing the edge co-location space as well from a data center perspective.
So Vino, it really does sound like there's a lot going on in this particular space. We've spoken a lot just around fiber backhaul, the ways in which businesses have adapted dark fiber's own digital transformation, and how you guys are thinking about that going forward up to this point where we're talking about 5G. But for you, are there any developments, types of technologies, or anything like that that you are personally excited about?
So I think technology always drives a change or shift in the number in the type of services that come to market, the market structure, value propositions that can be taken to market. And what I'm excited about is that when I look at our business that we built, we've built a solid business. We've built a densified network in the metro areas, and we service a diverse set of customers, ranging from mobile network operators to the public sector, to fiber to the home providers or fiber network operators, to ISPs. I think the exciting part is for me is how these sectors will drive, will also in turn enable the shift towards a digital world for the markets that they serve, how the transformation will happen in society as a whole, and knowing that, as DFA, we sit at the back of it, at the foundational, layer one, I refer to as the layer one foundational level, to support this growth. I mean, there's a saying that as networks become more wireless, they become more fixed, and that's because as the wireless becomes more pervasive, you need to bring it onto more pervasive and resilient backhaul infrastructure, which fiber is the most resilient because it can just scale in terms of the capacity that it can support. So I think that's the exciting part, is to be knowing that, hey, as DFA, be part of the digital transformation, not of DFA or the industry, but as part of digital transformation of the country as a whole, of different vertical sectors. It's an exciting and rewarding place to be, knowing that we contribute to making a difference.
So that was us with Vino Govender, who is the executive for strategy, mergers and acquisition and innovation at Dark Fiber Africa, just saying that he's excited about the fact that their business, their infrastructure that they are building, you know, provides a foundation upon which the country is helping to digitally transform itself, businesses, homes, and the way that people are working. He was just taking us through some insights around what Dark Fiber actually does, and some of the businesses that they actually provide capability and functionality to, especially internet service providers, businesses, and mobile network providers. Also, just talking about their own internal digital transformation, how they're thinking, you know, just around their own journey. He was saying that COVID-19 has actually provided a lot of lessons for them, because they had started even implementing some of the things that have become popular through the lockdown before COVID-19 even hit, but that the pandemic did give them some lessons just around, you know, how they function and how to increase efficiencies in their own business. So that's been it. Thank you so much to Vino for joining us for today's show.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Another fascinating conversation around telecommunications, continuing from the last conversation we had with Dominic Carl from Ellipsis, just around the building of networking infrastructure and property rights, that type of thing. But now, you know, as we're talking to Dark Fiber Africa and just hearing about how they're thinking about it with Vino, I think it's quite important that these discussions, you know, be had, and just thinking about how people are thinking about connectivity, because it sort of gives a physical aspect or physical dimension to online activity. You know, just the fact that all of the online connectivity that people have become so dependent on in 2020, in the 21st century, Facebook, social media, Teams, Zoom, whatever you're using, whatever you're connecting online on, that there is a real sort of tangible aspect to it, and that's in the form of connectivity that's being provided through networking infrastructure from players like DFA or Dark Fiber Africa. So hearing how they're thinking about connecting the country and being part of the digital transformation journey is quite interesting. More than anything else, the big takeaway from me is just how COVID-19 was actually able to refine Dark Fiber's plans around their own digital transformation, because whatever they're able to then do for themselves, then it helps to then refine how they can then help their clients or manage services part of their business. So I found it quite interesting from that point of view. And then on the last point, just appreciating the networking part of it. It really just goes to show that if companies like Dark Fiber and if consulting firms like Ellipsis are still employed and coming up with strategies around physical connectivity and building of towers, then despite the fact that there is so much connectivity, it sort of points to the fact that the experts, industry players, those who know what's actually going on, don't see the country as being as connected as it could be. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways, to say that no matter how many towers we see, the fact that a person could drive from, let's say, Messina in Limpopo all the way to Cape Town in the Western Cape without dropping signal on the biggest networks in the country on the mobile side does not necessarily mean the country is where it needs to be when it comes to connectivity. There's still a lot of, you know, there's still a lot of building that actually needs to be done to get the country to where it actually needs to be. So that's been it in terms of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Life. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashamayete. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.